Welcome to the Monster Club, an honest look at horror movies from lifelong horror fans. Fair warning, you may not have seen this movie. We have spoilers! I am your host, Jethel Silverwing.
And I'm Tak.
This week, we take a look at the 1997 sci-fi thriller, Cube. Alternative titles! Thinking Inside the Box.
The Rubik's Cube of Death.
Dun, dun, dun. First impressions.
I always loved this movie.
Go ahead. I'm not going to interrupt you on this.
I'm a big fan of how movies are made. So immediately the first thing I thought when I saw this movie and I realized what was happening with the set was how ingenious, how what a wonderful way to keep your budget down as small as possible. You know, it was obvious to me that they were crawling through the same tiny set over and over and over again, and there was nothing else for 99% of the movie, except for the very, very end, and then it was just a hallway with some light. So that, fantastic. For 97, I think the acting was definitely fair. Not, I mean, it's not like a huge summer blockbuster or anything like that, but very interesting characters. And I'm a big fan of David Hewlett from Stargate Atlantis and Nicole DeBoer from Deep Space Nine.
All right.
And so seeing those two pop up in the movie unexpectedly, of course, I think it was like a Canadian production, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, we're professionals. So it was a Canadian production, so it was, I think they're both Canadian. That's why they popped up there. But it was interesting to see them in something else. David Hewlett, he pretty much played the same kind of cynical character that he does on Atlantis. But Nicole DeBoer was a lot different from Dax. I think this might have been after she did DS9, or was it before? I'm not sure.
Let's see. Star Trek DS9 was 1998.
Right. So this was well before then.
Okay. Well, maybe this is the movie that got her discovered to do DS9.
And probably same for Hewlett, too. Stargate Atlantis was 2004. So, it looks like they both might have got their start from this film.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the traps. I'm a big fan of mechanical things.
You?
Yeah.
I don't believe
Imagine
it.
That. For those that don't know, the name that I'm using comes from an EverQuest 2 character, Tak, and he's a little gnome, big into tinkering. Yeah, I love the deviousness of all the traps, and you were always wondering what's the next trap going to be, you know?
Now, you can look at it as if this is a precursor to Saw.
Probably, but, I mean, I saw, not what Saw turned into, maybe the first film.
Yeah. We'll talk about Saw in another, another episode.
This definitely was not torture porn.
No, this definitely was not. They're methodical. The traps are very well thought out, I thought. I like the way that they used math to allow you to find your way out. If you're smart enough to look for the clues. Anyone just going headlong, it's like, all right, we're going this way all the way through because we have to eventually reach the end of this thing. And if you got that tunnel vision, that mindset that we're doing this and we're not going to think about the surrounding area, you're dead. That's all there is to it. Because sometimes you can't see the trap. Sometimes you can't smell the trap.
Right.
Or whatever it is, they thought maybe the room colors had something to do with it at one point.
Mm-hmm.
No. Of course, that was very early on.
That's why I call it the Rubik's Cube of Death.
The
multicolored panel.
I mean, they really set the tone at the beginning of this movie by having the guy, you know, oh my God, you're Rains? You're the guy that escaped so many prisons and stuff
right.
like that. We gotta follow this guy. He's gonna lead us out. Pang! Acid to the face.
Oh, that was amazing. That was probably, except for Alderson in the beginning, that was probably the most gruesome death, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I can't, I can't think of any of the others off the top of my head that were as delightfully gruesome as the acid to the face.
Oh yeah,
I mean, and then they see him later too.
Yeah, well,
they realize they're back in the same one. Yeah, you know, you talked about they set up the atmosphere really well. The sound design is excellent in this movie.
You know, that
for
is
a low budget movie.
That's
wow.
Something that movies are missing nowadays, especially horror movies. They're trying so hard to get away from the cinema orchestral experience, you know.
Well, it wasn't even just that. I mean, the music was excellent in this movie. They used a combination of pipes and saws and stuff. They did all kinds of weird stuff.
The ambience and whatnot was made for the movie, though. I'm seeing so many horror movies lately that are just using whatever's top of the charts right now, or whatever band they made a deal with.
Or whatever composer is popular.
Yeah, it's just like,
at the time.
Come on.
Yeah, I like it when they take a talented composer and they say, okay, make music, but do this with instruments nobody's used before.
Yeah, that's always
awesome.
Nice.
And it sounds wonderful. It sounds mechanical and spooky and creepy. The other part of the sound design I really liked was just the background ambience, the sound of machinery moving in the background, and they don't know what's going on because the cube that they're in never moves until later in the movie, near the end.
Right.
It's always the cubes around them shifting into position.
And that's probably by design. They probably have, you know, I'm talking cinematically, of course, if they're in the cube, you know, there's some pressure sensor or something like that telling them that they're inside, don't move.
Right.
That way, they don't know that the cubes are moving until they figure it out for themselves.
Right. I don't think they actually see one moving until Kazan.
No, not
takes
until the very
trip.
End. But I like the movie. I like the way it's played out.
I love the darkness of the cubes in this one particularly.
Oh yeah, there was nothing real bright about this at all. Everything was dank.
Mm-hmm.
It was like,
it looked very industrial.
I mean, it was something that was put together. It was cleaned, of course, but not something that was probably dusted. No one is maintaining the cube, but in a self-contained environment, it's not getting dirty by itself, except, of course, for the corpses.
Mm-hmm.
Which you only see one corpse in the whole thing. I mean, the guy that got diced in the beginning, they had to have either cleaned him up or they never got back to that cube.
Yeah, and they never actually reveal when he's in there. He's just the introduction saying, this is the kind of stuff that goes on in this place. Now we're going to put characters in here and let you get to know them a little bit so that you worry about them. But right off the bat, they present this guy that we know is Alderson from his uniform and just kill him straight off the bat so you know what's up. You know the environment.
Yep.
You know, this is what goes on. And I mean, I guess within the movie you don't know what happens, but in the third movie they present the idea of everything being flash incinerated on a regular basis to clear out everything. So
I would think so. Yeah, that'd be the way to go. You get the idea. You know, they suddenly come to the realization when they get into it's the second to the last cube, and they find Reigns' body. We should have just stayed where the fuck we were.
Yeah, that's always fun. And I like that the movie doesn't try to explain why it is those particular characters were put. Because everything was done deliberately. They worked that out. You know, they've got somebody who's good with mathematics, somebody who's good at escaping. You've got a police officer try to present some authority. You've got somebody who designed part of the thing. And you've got a doctor to keep them healthy. You know?
Yeah, it was definitely by design. But who? Who is it?
Right. Right. And they never answer that. And I love that about this movie. It's a mystery that's presented, and it doesn't really need to be solved.
No.
It's that mystery.
I think movies nowadays explain way too much.
Yeah. Like one of my favorite monster movies, Cloverfield.
Cloverfield.
They never explain where the monster's from. What it was an experiment? Did it come from outer space?
No.
They don't.
You have to watch the ending of the movie. Okay, now back to Cube.
Okay.
Okay, so let's talk about characters here. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 characters, 6 main characters. Here are some interesting facts. Every character is named after a prison.
Isn't that cool?
Quentin. So Quentin, the hard-nosed cop, is named after the San Quentin State Prison in California.
Yeah, that one's a giveaway.
Right. Holloway, the female doctor, is named for Holloway Castle, prison for women and youth in London, England.
Mm-hmm.
Kazan, who is mentally handicapped, is named after the Kazan Psychiatric Hospital in Russia. Rains, who is the prison escape artist, is named for the Rains...
Rene,
is named after a prison in France that helped pioneer the modern prison system. Alderson, the first person we meet who gets diced right away. Alderson is a prison in West Virginia known for solitary confinement. He dies alone. Levin and Worth. Duh, put them together, Leavenworth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. Yeah, the whole movie was shot in a single 14x14 cube and an opposing wall, so you can see them coming in. So they were basically moving in and out of the same box throughout the whole movie.
Not only that, but only one of the portals actually worked and could take their weight for them to crawl through. So just imagine the amount of time involved with camera setups.
Oh, yeah. They
would okay, you've crawled into this. Now we're going to have you crawl out of that same portal again, but we got to move the cameras over here to make it seem like you've come over from this side. You know, that must have been insane.
You know, I didn't actually see it in the notes or anything like that, but it would make more sense and save more time if they actually just flipped the image. We're going through the other side instead of having to, like, take a wall out and reposition the cameras.
Oh, no, they didn't take a wall out. They just moved the camera. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
It would just make more sense just to flip the image, which is, you know.
So what they would have them do is walk towards the camera and past the camera, and then they'd move the camera a little bit, you know, like 3 feet over, and then say, okay, now walk back towards the portal and climb out of the cube.
Exactly.
That's what they did. And the other interesting thing that I found out about the method that they used to film this is that they didn't film it in sequence. They filmed all the red cube scenes in one go, all the green cube scenes in one go, all the blue cube scenes in one go.
Well, that would
so that
make
must
sense.
Have been very confusing. But yeah, it probably saved a lot of time.
Can you imagine? It's like, okay, now we're going to do this cube color. Oh, by the way, you need to leave.
You're dead now by this point.
You're dead in this scene.
Oh, man. Just the inventiveness of this movie delights me every time I watch it.
I just, the only scene that really gave me problems in this is when Quentin loses it at the end and goes a little rapey. He goes rapey.
Yeah. It's like, he does.
It's like you're one cube from getting out of here. Why are you trying to rape her?
What the fuck's wrong with you? He's lost it. I mean, you know what? That makes me think that Quentin was a trap just as much as any of the mechanical traps in the cubes.
He was thrown in there because, number one, he was a cop and he would exhume authority, but he was also unstable.
He was also unstable. And did you notice that at some point in the movie it seemed like the doctor Holloway knew something about his past. She mentioned something about his wife and there being an incident with his wife. And then he says after that, you know, that he had inside information on his private life. And so she's obviously in on it, you know, that's something they never really discussed after that.
I actually looked at that conversation as they were making her out to be this man-hating feminist type. It was like,
she made a generalization.
Wife. Yeah.
And then it turns out she was actually right on the nose and he is a,
yeah.
You know,
well, let's face it. He did seem the type.
Yeah.
Jackass.
He was scary. He was definitely as scary as any of the traps.
Oh, yeah. So what else can we say about Cube? I say it's definitely not for kids.
Definitely not for kids.
just for the atmosphere itself. I wouldn't say for the violence or the guy getting diced or anything like that. Because honestly, it wasn't all that, compared to today's movies, not all that bad.
Yeah, it definitely, you know, the deaths definitely weren't drug out.
No, I mean, it's rated R back in 97. I think it would be PG-13 today.
I don't know.
Only because the MPAA is really inconsistent as fuck.
Okay, man. Okay, Jethel. What would you do if you found yourself in that same situation? How would you? I mean, knowing between the two of us.
Okay.
And I find ourselves in the cube, you know, in a red cube, really threatening. We hear all these sounds. We discover each other pretty quickly. How long do you think we would make it? How many cubes do you think it would take us before we died?
I'm horrible at math.
Yeah, me neither. I think we're toast. I think that's it.
Yeah. We would probably last just as long as Alderson did at the beginning. You're like, this one looks so good. Oh, God!
Okay. If you had to choose from the various traps in the movie.
I'm a big guy.
I'm right there with you, man.
But I'm quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my stepson is literally a third my size, and you can hear him coming down the stairs, you know, banging, and the house kind of shakes when he walks.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get that with me.
You are a graceful mover. You carry it well, in other words.
Yeah, so I think the one where you have to be silent, I think...
They had to lower themselves down through a portal and then, you know, monkey bar across the room and then climb down. Could you do that?
Okay. If we can go into the silent room through the side, I could probably
maybe. Now, what I'm saying is, of all the traps, which one would you prefer to meet your end with?
Oh,
that's what I mean.
If I'm gonna die, I want to do it quick, for God's sakes.
Right.
That
the spike room, the quiet room, that's pretty quick. I mean, that's
the spikes. Would be pretty quick. Either the spikes or the dice, because either one, you're dead, and that's all there is to it.
I wonder.
It's over quickly.
I wonder with the dice how long his brain was semi-conscious before it fell apart into its many perfectly cubed pieces.
That's a Hollywood myth. As long as the pieces are together, you're fine. No! Do you realize how many freaking arteries and shit like that you just severed?
Yeah, but have you ever cut your finger? And it's like, then you look at it, and then the flesh separates and it starts to bleed.
Your finger's not your carotid artery or your spinal cord. Sever that spinal cord, you're done. That's it.
That's true.
So I really think the monofilament wires dicing the guy would actually be a lot quicker in real life than it would be than they portrayed in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be quick. If I had to choose my method of death from the options they gave us in Cube, I would say either the spikes may actually take a while, depending on what they hit.
So hundreds of spikes come out of the walls and they stab you in various places and then they immediately retract after a couple of seconds. I think you bleed out pretty quick.
Well, you would bleed out pretty quick, but I really think the dicing would be quicker.
Yeah.
So I'd have to go with the dice. Besides, you know me, I'm a horror fan. Let's go out as gruesome as possible. Know what they should have had?
How would I?
You know what? If they remade this movie today, you know what one of the traps would be?
Mm-hmm.
Monkeys in a box.
Monkeys in a box? chimpanzees that are frustrated with being domesticated. Yeah.
They just tear you apart and shit because, you know, monkeys are evil.
How would I want to go? Let's see. Okay, there was the quiet room with the spikes. There was the cheese dicer or whatever you want to call that thing. What else was there? There was acid to the face. I definitely would not want to go out by acid in the face. That looked really painful.
That would be really drawn out. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a horribly gruesome and painful death.
And then there was another monofilament thing where the guy was getting twisted. That would probably be agonizing.
Yeah, the one Quentin dodged out of.
Yeah.
the being incinerated, no, burning to death is a terrible, terrible way to go.
Yeah.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to, I'm going to have to agree with you. It's up between the spikes and that. I think the dicer would probably be the way I would want to go to.
Now,
I agree.
I think the way that we can both agree that we would not want to go, and it's not a trap, is at the very end, getting caught between the cubes when they're moving.
Oh, man, that was pretty bad.
That was pretty gnarly.
Yeah. Yeah, Quentin finally met his end.
And well-deserved.
Oh, yeah.
Well-deserved. By then, he was out of control and rapey. Gotta go.
Out of control.
Sorry, Quentin. Gotta go.
Bye-bye, jerk cop.
When you gotta go, you gotta go. like Robin Harris used to say, comedian
and
Robin Harris.
And I liked that they thought to include the blood smear as the cube that he was in rolls away. And I like that they kept it simple. You know, they didn't put any complicated machinery. Is like, how are these cubes moving around? There's no gears or metal or anything.
They just move. Uh-huh. No tracks, you know, that's it. No complicated gears or anything like that.
How long do you think we would last? Neither of us are very good at math, so I think probably four or five cubes, I'm saying. I'm going to be a little generous because some of those people were wandering around quite a bit and accidentally found each other.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's true.
There are quite a few cubes that just don't have any traps in them.
We could say maybe 4 or 5 cubes, and then we're both toast or diced up little pieces of beat.
You know, it occurs to me that this movie has the potential for making a fantastic board game.
Yeah. If someone
wouldn't that be cool?
Made a board game with the cube. I think that would be interesting.
And you wouldn't need a map or anything. You would just have, you know, some sort of random dice roll
Here's a thought. It already has made a game. MUDs. Remember MUDs? You're in a room. It has 3 doors. You go left, right, or forward.
Yeah. But it would be kind of cool to see, you know, you'd roll dice. No, you'd argue with your fellow players around the table about who gets to test the next cube.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
And that you would have to have some means of selecting, you know, like short straws or rolls of the dice or something. And then you do a roll, or you pick a card from the deck, and it would say, you know, clear, or here's how you die.
That would be interesting. You know what? I'm actually going to pitch that idea to Greg Spence, who runs the Broken Token.
Yeah, if he could get in touch with
and
the...
And he could make the boxes.
And it would come in a box that's patterned like the interior of the cube so that you could fold it, you know, inside out and have the lid open and you would see the inside of the cube if you wanted. That would be fun.
That would be fun. Okay, so what else can we say about Cube? You know, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, it's a very straightforward movie.
Some people, I've heard some comments saying that the actors aren't the greatest, but I love all the actors. I love them all.
I think they did fine.
The only one that got on my nerves was the free clinic doctor, Holloway.
She was a little over the top.
Yeah, she was a little, you know, paranoid conspiracy theory, you know, nut jobby. But
that could be why she was put in there. She was going to aggravate people.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that line of hers that says, you know, nobody's ever going to tell me I'm paranoid again. I love that line.
You know, you're not paranoid if they really are out to get you.
Exactly. What would you give this movie?
Okay, my rating system is a 1 through 5, and it goes like this. Number one, this movie did not meet any redeeming expectation in my eyes. Avoid at the risk of losing your money. 2, disappointing, but not completely trash. 3, not bad, had some flaws, but definitely worth seeing. 4 stars would be a definite must-see, recommended to anyone. And the ultra-rare 5-star, run over your own mother to see this movie, buy the special edition, and send flowers to the cast.
Wow. I would say 4 bloody hearts.
4 bloody hearts.
A definite must see. I'd recommend it to anyone. Sure, definitely. It's not perfect.
It isn't perfect. It's a low budget. The actors are kind of obscure, but I think it's definitely worth a see.
Absolutely. You know, speaking of remaking it today, Lionsgate Films are planning to remake the film under the title Cubed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This comes via the Hollywood Reporter. This comes from a April 30th, 2015 article on The Verge. So that definitely looks promising. That's recent news.
Hmm. Well, all right,
I would
then.
Love to see this concept remade with modern filmmaking techniques, as long as they stuck true to the intent of the original film.
My thought on that is they're going to get overly CGI on this. I hate it when they go overly CGI. Practical effects look just so much better.
Yeah, and there was only a couple of CGI things. It was the spikes and the cheese dicer, I think.
The spikes, the cheese dicer, and the outside of the cube was animated.
That's right, that's right.
Other than that, everything was real. Well, everything it was practical, I should say.
Right, practical effects. They actually melted that guy's face off with acid.
It was awesome.
So dedicated. Man, they must have paid that guy a lot of money.
Well, they really did melt the face off of a mannequin.
Oh! I was just making a joke. I had no idea.
Yeah, that wasn't CGI. I mean, squirt to the face, and then they had a prosthetic over his eyes, and then for the actual melting blah blah blah, it was a mannequin.
Oh, wow. Huh,
remember that there was very little CGI back then, even in the late 90s.
Because you really couldn't get away with...
Oh, no, because everything pretty much looked fake.
Lengthy looks, right. It all looked like the first Toy Story. You know, you couldn't get away with it. But now everything looks so super detailed that it gives itself away again as CGI. So, yeah, I agree. Practical effects would be the way to go. Oh, what rating did you give it?
Oh, I said that I gave it... I'm definitely going to be giving it 4.
Okay, so we're totally...
4 out of 5. We're on sync here. Yeah. You know, at some point, we're going to have to do a movie we don't agree on.
Absolutely. I think your biggest bet for those are going to be cheeseball horror flicks that you are nostalgically attached to, and I probably wouldn't waste my time with otherwise.
Next week, the Monster Club looks back at our namesake, the 1981 horror comedy, The Monster Club, starring Vincent Price, John Carradine, and Donald Pleasance. I'm Jethel Silverwing.
And I'm Tuck.
This week, The Monster Club was made possible by pouring a green gelatinous goo into a toaster, thrown into the tear of fabric of space and time while chanting verses from the Necronomicon.